end of this year, what do you think you guys are going to be saying you fit the most people into?
My gut just says ping. It's as forgiving as possible. Majority of golfers that we get in need the forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
If we can get something in their hands where 440K is still quick, still spins fairly low, that forgiveness, that consistency across the faces is ridiculous.
Pretty crazy.
Yeah. For a lot of my elite golfers, my D1 golfers, elite juniors, I'm fitting them for 15, 16, sometimes even 17 clubs.
Mm, interesting.
And then depending on course conditions, depending on what the course presents, you flip something in and out. The biggest piece that we've really seen in the last really 10, 15 years is just the forgiveness aspect of some of these drivers, where it used to be center, great. You miss it, toe, heel. It really kind of starts to fall apart, both spin and ball speed.
There is a podcast brewing that's about to take over podcasting for good. The only podcast that you are going to need to tune into day in, day out is the Member Guest Podcast.
If I can hit it down the middle of the fairway, that's great. But again, with the driver right now, the driver sucks.
And now, the Member Guest Podcast!
John Daly, and you're listening to the Member Guest Podcast. Rip it, rip it.
Fresh off a driver fitting at Second Swing on a Friday afternoon in the middle of a snowstorm in January. Where else would you rather be, Mark Olson?
Absolutely nowhere.
Yeah, nowhere. Yeah, this is amazing. Thank you for being here. It is the first of 12 sponsored official Member Guest Podcast and Second Swing partnership.
It's awesome.
In 2026. Awesome. It's great, isn't it?
I'm honored.
Look how far Member Guest has come, too. Look at that. We got official sponsorships with Second Swing. They're like, dude, you're here so often and you spend so much money with us that we'll give you something. It'd be great.
There you go. A little partnership.
Yeah.
Can't go wrong.
It's great. Mark Olson, not only master Second Swing fitter, but the owner and operator of a new golf account that I just found that is just absolutely phenomenal.
Thank you.
Blades and Sunday bags. Am I getting that right?
You're getting that exactly right.
Where did that start? And like, where does this go back to? You must have been playing a long time if you're repping Sunday bags and playing blades.
Yeah. So it's actually kind of a funny story. So when I kind of finished up high school golf, my last tournament was down at Pinehurst. It was a national high school tournament. While I was down there, we went into the member pro shop at Pinehurst. One of the guys we were down there with, lucky enough to be able to get into member pro shop. He has a house down there. So went in there, found this little single strap Titleist Sunday bag. I was like, that's sick. That's kind of cool. Like it's a little different. I can play just kind of a little more casual, a little bit more laid back. Took that out. First round with it was Tobacco Road, one of my favorite golf courses on the planet.
I've heard it's great.
It's phenomenal. It's different than anything else you'll play. But kind of after I got that, I was kind of thinking, I'm like, man, competitive career is kind of coming to a close. Like I've been going 5-6 years where kind of through high school, it was competitions all summer, like practicing, trying to get as good at this game as I possibly could. And I was to the point where I was kind of getting a little bit burnt out. Kind of, okay, I don't really want to practice as much. I'm not going to be playing as many tournaments. How can I make this game fun? It was to a point where I'm not competing. How can I make it fun? So
yeah.
I found, hey, I find joy in equipment. I was always an equipment junkie. I was a big Mizuno guy. I've been playing MP18 blades for a number of years. I was like, blades and Sunday bags, like just kind of something to make the
rolls
game
off the
fun
top.
Again. Yeah. I was really just looking for something to replace the competitive itch with just, hey, let's go out and have some fun instead of kind of making it super serious and kind of going at it that route, just a little bit more laid back, a little bit more relaxed. I'm starting to try to get back into the competitive side a little bit more.
Yeah. You qualified for the State AM last year,
State
right?
AM last year. Yeah. That was the first time I tried qualifying. I got in on an alternate spot.
Where did you qualify at?
Qualified at Links at North Fork.
Okay.
So it's kind of a nasty day. It was a little windy, but, shot a 76, didn't play my best stuff, but figured that. Probably this is kind of a funny story too. Drove home after I shot 76. The cut line, I think, was 73 when I finished. So I was like, there's no shot.
Yeah.
Went home, had lunch, started looking at the scores again.
That afternoon wave. Yeah.
That afternoon wave came through and it started going up and up and up. And I should probably drive back. I got back with about 10 minutes and 76 got in. And it was a 9-for-3 playoff.
Wow.
For the alternate spots. Got in. On, I think, the fourth playoff hole.
You just roll out of the car?
Just rolled out of the car. I took two shots of the range and went to the first tee.
Oh, shit. That's awesome, dude.
It was a little crazy, but it was a lot of fun.
How was the state? Where was the state AM at? I did not qualify. I went to Deer Run. I don't even know if I think I was on break 90 watch on the front. Then I settled down and shot even par on the back, but terrible front. I was just out of it. Where was the state AM at this year? Oh, it was somewhere like far away, right?
Yeah, it was Madden's up in, up That's in right. Brainerd. Yeah. It played tough. It was,
I heard that.
They always kind of crank it up for state AM, state open type things, but opening nine holes, like took about, really the nine holes were pouring rain. It was raining sideways, thick rough. Like you got in that rough and you're just hacking a nine iron out, trying to get it up there as far as you could. But it was a blast. The competitive stuff, it kind of fun to get back into a little bit. I enjoy it when it's a little bit tougher out there.
Yeah.
I just feel like
you're a grinder.
Yeah. A little bit of a grinder. It's I feel like trying to make a score even when you don't have your best stuff, when it's not all going right. That's one of my favorite parts of the competitive side. So,
yeah, see, I need to, I've started to flip that switch a little bit, but historically, like I've always had, I shouldn't say I've had that mindset. I've been trying to get out of the mindset that like one bad hole or one bad nine or whatever it is, you know, doesn't just have to ruin your day, your score or your tournament. Right. And that's like a hard thing for, I think, a lot of golfers to overcome, especially the ones like you play a really good nine and like you look at your score and it kind of falls apart because you think about it. And then inversely, when you play a bad nine, like, you know, same thing with my same qualifier, I played a bad nine. I just was like, all right, man, like who cares? And I shot even on the back, you know, like it's one of those things. And to your point, what separates, I feel like a lot of these good amateur golfers are the guys that either have a bad hole or a couple bad holes. They don't let it get to them. They grind, they don't have their good stuff. They're getting up and down. They're, you know, taking second looks at putts and every single shot and just finding a way to post 3-4 over instead of, you know, 8-9 over. And it's a switch that I still have to flip.
Yeah. It's something that I kind of struggle with kind of that as well through the junior stuff. I never quite had the gear to go play kind of higher level.
Yeah.
You put me down for a 73, 74. I can go out and do that pretty reliably. Getting down to the 60s, it was just kind of, it was almost a fear of going low, where it's like, I feel like it's still something where
it's hard too. It's just hard.
Yeah. Yeah. It's hard to get, you put 2-3 birdies down on the front nine, trying to go out and make 2-3 more on the back. It's somewhere I get a little bit defensive. It's something that I see in my game, try to fix that a little bit, but I feel like it's a little bit inevitable as far as if you're not comfortable down there, it's hard to keep going lower.
Yeah, Bryson's famous for talking about the old, you know, go play from the up tees and try to shoot like the lowest possible score that you can and just get comfortable like being there. And I've had a couple rounds 2 years ago where I did that and I was comfortable being there, but like golf's that crazy sport where it's almost like the crazy thing is like once you shoot a number and you know you're capable of it, every time you don't shoot that number again, you're like, oh, I suck.
Makes
you know
it
what
so
I mean?
More frustrating.
Yeah, it makes it so much more frustrating. Like, man, I finally come to grips with like, man, I may never shoot 9 under again. Like it could be the reality, but like still trying to go and chase it and trying to do it is like the crazy part of it that makes it fun.
Oh, it makes it so much fun. It's the greatest game in the world as far as you even look at the guys on tour and they're still chasing perfection. You know, you'll never get it, but you try to get as close as you can.
Yeah. And well, and so you mentioned like gear junkie. Is that how you got into fitting or like as part of it? Like you get to like live it every single day. And like, you know, you work in golf now too. So like, how did you actually get into the like fit, like what you're doing now? How did you even find Second Swing? Are you a Minnesota kid and just like heard of it or like what brought you there?
Yeah. So originally first time down at Second Swing was with Aaron Roth. I got driver fitting.
Shout out
back to Aaron.
And everything comes back to Aaron all the time.
It has to.
For better or for worse.
Yeah, for sure. But I came down, and I was probably between, it was maybe sophomore year of high school, came down for driver fairway with him. So they Second Swing just as a company just took care of me, my brother, and a bunch of our teammates throughout our high school career. And it's a cool company that's just it's a lot more customer focused than I feel like a lot of other places. So you go down there, you feel welcome. Something where I always kind of had in the back of my mind, I kind of wanted to get into the golf industry at some point. And Larry Bobko is the one that kind of said, hey, why don't you come down and fit with us for a little bit? Like it may just see what happens. We'd love to have you. And it's been a blast. I mean, I've really enjoyed the whole thing. And again, the company's great. Coworkers are great. I get to come in and mess around with golf clubs for a living. Like,
yeah, it's pretty fun.
Can't really
I have to pay to do it and I still love it.
Yeah. It's for a gear junkie. There's there's no better place than in a fitting bay there.
Yeah. And I, we'll specifically talk about drivers here in a second, but I am a little bit curious. I've never asked this question, like, what kind of access or behind the scenes stuff do you guys get to maybe like, you know, all the major manufacturers and, you know, call it from like a technology perspective. Like I kind of listen and hear, you know, people talking about, oh yeah, we got to go down to Titleist or got to go down to Ping and talk with them. But like, do you know, are they coming in and telling you guys about, you know, the technology and things that are going into what they're making? You almost get a little bit of a inside scoop, or how does that work?
Yeah. So we do definitely get a little bit of an inside scoop. We have awesome opportunities to get down to different places. I've been down to Scottsdale, kind of see the Ping facilities, see their proving grounds area, and as well as TPI. Kind of being able to talk to the people kind of behind the products, just the kind of the thought process that goes into each product and why we're doing this, why we're doing that. It's kind of a nice insight for us, and we can kind of take some of that knowledge into the fitting bay. But we've got regional reps as well that kind of come in really this time of year, kind of show us all the new stuff. We love, we're just as much club junkies as everybody else. We love seeing the new stuff. We love seeing it early. So being able to see Quantum from Callaway this last week, or some of the stuff that's coming out, the 440K from Ping, seeing it and kind of hearing the reps talk about it, they get firsthand. All that information just gets passed down, okay, engineers to the reps to us, and then we kind of translate that for each kind of consumer coming in. And it's cool that we're able to kind of see and hear some stories from engineering and from the design stages of kind of what goes into each of the clubs and why kind of certain things are the way they are with it.
Yeah, because it's funny, like, you know, as a just strictly consumer, and I'm probably a different level of consumer than most, right? But generally speaking, like most consumers, you know, they see all the commercials or the stuff on Instagram, and I am like always a little bit enamored by like the way that they market stuff out to people, right? And then like what the reality is in the fitting bay. And like for you, you know, do you actually see a ton of different changes year over year, like with the drivers? Like, is it more aesthetic? Are you truly seeing a jump in ball speed? Like, we're going to talk about the, you know, my fitting today. And I certainly saw some changes, but like, you know, what actually leads to those things? Is it truly like the technology, or is it a lot to do with matchups and how different is it? Because you get like one side of the argument where people go, man, yeah, I've been playing this driver for 3 years and I come in to try a new fitting and just like, nothing can beat it for whatever reason. Maybe like the player's used to it, or, you know, whatever. You probably see that. And you probably see other people come in and, you know, they use their exact same shaft and grip and everything, just put in a new head and like, boom, five mile an hour ball speed. So like, you know, after seeing all these fittings, you know, what have you kind of figured out as maybe a secret sauce or the reason for those things, right? Because every player is completely different. And I'm just kind of curious, like, is there an answer, like a crack to the code? Like, do you have a take on this?
There definitely is kind of something to it as far as kind of different companies making changes. Everybody kind of knows the center of the club face has really been fairly unchanged. They make some slight increases here and there. The biggest piece that we've really seen in the last really 10, 15 years is just the forgiveness aspect of some of these drivers, where it used to be center, great, you miss it, toe, heel, it really kind of starts to fall apart, both spin and ball speed. The drivers today, we've kind of just started seeing, hey, when we look at ball speed in general, I look for kind of across the face. Center is always good to kind of keep an eye on, kind of make sure that that's still in a really good spot. Yeah. But what does it do off the toe? What does it do off the heel? Both spin rate and ball speed are really the pieces that I kind of take a look at. For myself, I look for spin rate as kind of my indicator. You know, I hit the center of the face probably more than the average golfer. When I do strike it off the toe, I don't want to see that spin rate drop too low. I don't want to see it kind of diving off the left, kind of opposite heel. I don't want to see it jump up too much. And kind of seeing that stability across the face has been the biggest thing. When people talk about, oh, I got 30 yards of extra distance going into a fitting, a lot of that comes, it's kind of a combination of two things. It's a big part is just what the previous fit was, and then just what we can get them into as far as the difference there. If you're coming from a properly fit driver into a new generation, kind of a new driver there, you may see some slight increases in ball speed, a little bit more kind of slight increases for dispersion, getting something that's a little bit tighter. You don't see the 30 yard, like I'm sure for you, you saw a little bit of a difference with the driver today, but it's not the 30 yards that you'll hear some people say. And it's,
yeah,
I don't mean this to be kind of like a Debbie Downer, like, oh, don't expect the 30 yards, because it could be you as far as, hey, if you come in with a poorly fit club, we will get you. We'll get every ounce
optimizing
it for sure. And that's really the key, is just kind of where you're coming from. We're always trying to get you to the best possible position. So whether that's 5 yards, whether that's 15 yards, we're going to get as much of it as we can for you.
Yeah. Well, the other part of it too, that I imagine has got to be frustrating and or fun, is sometimes I've been in fittings and I've seen, everybody. It's like, I've been seeing you guys now for, it's got to be close to 7 years. I think I first saw Fitz at the original location in Minneapolis when he was, they had just opened like the fitting van or whatever next door to the original Second Swing. When I went in and saw him, and like half of it was like a lesson, the other like component of this is, year over year, or even every few months when you're fitting for stuff, like your swing changes, your technique changes, your body changes for better or for worse. And I've always found it really interesting to see, like if we start to get into shafts and talk about my driver fitting today, like I've gone from a Ventus black, which is just like super stiff in the tip.
Yep.
To now, like today we found a really good matchup. And what I had thought is similar to my iron profile, where I've actually got like a lot more kick in the tip. And all of a sudden, like my spin went from 1900 to 2400 all of a sudden with like just switching the shaft and the profile of the shaft. And that's also partly me changing like my swing a little bit, from the past, call it 4 or 5 months. So, like when you're fitting people, are you ever kind of having to like almost guide them a little bit into, hey, like we're launching it here, like maybe feel hitting down on it a little bit, or, you can't just give them stuff that's, going to fix a little bit. It's got to be with the swing too.
Yeah. And it's definitely a delicate balance as far as that goes.
For sure.
I try very hard not to go too far into the kind of swing side, just because that can vary so much. If we start, hey, let's throw all the weight back, let's swing up on it as hard as we can, or trying to change path is incredibly difficult. I know from a personal side, like in my own game, changing path is one of the toughest things. If it's a quick change, a grip is something that I'm fairly kind of willing to tweak a little bit. Just getting that face a little bit more rotated through, let's strengthen that grip a little bit. When it's something that I can kind of tell them before the swing, I'm a little bit more willing to do it, where they can kind of forget about it and put their natural move on it. But kind of going back to the fitting side and kind of what you see, one thing that I always tell my players is if you start going through swing changes, the equipment likely needs to be adjusted with it.
Yeah.
It may not be a completely different change, as far as we may not, probably not going to change heads too much, or we may not be changing the shaft. But if we start swinging on a little bit of a different plane, lie angle is huge with irons. We have to keep yourself in a spot where the equipment is optimal for your swing today, making sure that, hey, swing changes, the clubs change with it. We need to make sure that we're kind of adjusting that for each tweak that we make.
Yeah. Well, I just put out a podcast earlier this week, and we were talking about, kind of new stuff for this year. And Andrew McCain, who's a ex-pro and now, I guess technically he's still pro. So he's pro, but also a teaching instructor. We started to get on the topic a little bit about the new drivers. And he was all about the Callaway. And I was like, not like... hesitant, but I was just like, I know you love Callaway, and like I know you rep Callaway, so I need to like see this thing for myself. And so I scheduled my fitting for today, and I was playing the Callaway before that. I played the 10K and like some LST ping models, and generally speaking haven't been a big TaylorMade guy. All these new drivers are out now, and speaking from my experience today, that Callaway was a real deal, man. Like I immediately saw ball speed like averaging around 173, and I'm normally 168 to 170, so like immediate ball speed jump. And then I saw a lot of consistency to what you were just talking about on the misses. Like I think you were standing there when I towed one, and it kind of just started a little right and fell a little left, and then I heeled one and it started a little left, kind of came back, and I was like, all right, this thing might actually be one of the better drivers I've hit. When we matched up with the shaft, it was great. You've probably already started fitting people, and everyone right now is talking about the Callaway, the new TaylorMade, and the Ping, what do they call it? The Max K? Is that the name?
Yep, Max K.
And that is not to, you know, discount. I've heard really good things about the Cobra. I think one of your guys' main fitters is in that. But when we talk about those like big three that everybody kind of talks about and sees on tour, what have you seen in the bays so far? I know it's early on, but you're going to see a lot of people start to come in now.
Yep.
What are you seeing? How are these matching up to certain swing speeds and player profiles? And, you know, I kind of want your take on, you know, what's going to be the driver of the year when you guys are sitting here in December talking about like what you fit everybody into.
Yeah, it's still very early. So it's something like what we call a kind of race too close to call. It's still fairly early, but taking a look, it's all really good stuff this year. Ping, I've been incredibly impressed with across the face when it comes to forgiveness. It's hard to go wrong with ping. When you take a look at the stability of that max gain, even going back to 440 max, the 440 LST, still phenomenal drivers. Like came out in 2025 and in the fitting so far, they're still, I mean, I'm putting sometimes two or even three of those heads in people's hands. Hey, let's just kind of see what happens with each of these. TaylorMade I see as a big improvement from QI 35, especially on the looks department. When people kind of talk about that 35, it's a little bit, okay, 35 was okay. It was pretty good. The QI 10 was a really solid driver for them. Yeah. You guys.
A lot of the pros didn't switch.
A lot of pros didn't switch. Yeah. And I think a lot of that came down to the looks, where it's not even as much a performance thing. That 35 was still a solid performing driver, but it just didn't suit the eye of a lot of the better players. It was a little bit bigger. It sat a little bit lower. It kind of had that little bit of a flatter look to it, where I kind of like to call it looks like a pancake a little bit.
Yeah.
Some people like that look. A lot of the better players prefer that little more traditional pear shape. This 4D is going back to that pear shape where it's just a little bit better look. Its performance is really solid. I love the weighting system that they added to it.
And the TaylorMade is like the, what do they got? Like four?
They've got in their core head, they've got four movable weights where you can move it front, back, heel, toe. Having those adjustable weights for both strike as well as direction can be a huge benefit for a lot of people. So having that adjustability plus a driver that looks as good as it does, TaylorMade is one that I'm excited to fit a lot this year. Callaway is the one that in my bag probably has leader in the clubhouse at the moment.
Really?
That triple diamond max was really solid. It took a few swings with that, kind of got a feel for what I'm going to need as far as loft. I bumped it up a little bit in loft, just kind of like you were seeing, kind of that high toe is one that I really hate, kind of seeing that fall out of the sky, lose a little bit of carry, you lose control as far as direction goes. I like to see that spin rate just be a little bit higher. If it's out of the center, kind of 25, 26, I know if I do catch it out the toe, it's going to be more kind of in that 22 range. I'm totally fine with that. I'd rather see that spin rate go up a little bit on some of those miss hits than it get too low, because I just feel like I can't quite control it.
And just for context for like people listening, what is your like average ball speed carry? Like what are your kind of numbers?
Yeah. So for me I feel like I kind of have two swings. It's the gamer swing and then there's kind of the go after it swing. Yeah.
What's your gamer? What's like gamer? You're going out money game or playing state A and whatever, like you're just showing up in form. Like what's your cruiser?
Cruiser ball speed is mid to high 160s, kind of 167, 168. As far as launch and spin, I'm a fairly high ball hitter. Launch it probably more in the 14, 15, 16 degree range.
We're kind of similar then.
We're fairly similar as far as flight goes. I swing up on it. So it's not one where I don't produce a ton of spin. If anything, I'm looking to add it. I got into the hole of kind of looking for that really high launch, really low spin, try to maximize as much distance as I could. I just found as you have some of those slight miss hits, it's really good out of the center. It's really good when you go hard at it. But if you ever do need to take a little bit off, say, hey, I just need to take a little bit off. It's a little bit tighter up at Madden's. We just need to find the fairway.
Yeah.
The fairway finders just got difficult for me. So adding a little bit of spin kind of helped give me a little bit more control with that. So yeah, kind of when I go after it, can see it get up over that 170, kind of 172, 173. But for the most part, that's only coming out if I either got a wide open fairway.
You're going after it. You're just in the bay trying to see what you can get out of this thing.
100%. So it's something where I kind of see this in fittings as well, where having that gamer swing kind of in tune, like I like seeing that gamer swing more. Like towards the end, we're definitely going to go after a couple hard, like let's see what we can get out of it.
Mm-hmm.
But for the most part, people are like, oh, like I feel like I'm swinging really hard right now. I'd rather have you, let's kind of just tone it down. Let's hit what you're going to be doing 75, 80% of the time. We can save those kind of stepping into it for the very end there.
Yeah. And then, I mean, obviously there's the driver head component, but like I've been, you know, like my hot take this year, Andrew and I talked about on our last pod with Will as well, is I think a lot of it has to do with matchups. Because like your point, drivers are getting so good, like so fast, so forgiving. And, you know, they're starting to reach, you know, maybe not a peak, but like every year you're just trying to squeeze a little bit more out. Eventually you have to talk about like how to match things up, like your ball and your shaft and all these things to get the optimal numbers out of the head. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot more general consumers are picking up on this. So like you need to go get fit. You can't just walk into a store and pick one up off the rack, or like you can, but you're just like playing a guessing game if you're going to get something that fits, right? Like that's why some people are like, oh, I hate that driver. It's like, well, did you even like get it fit? And so when we talk about how you guys, you know, maximize that I assume it's like loft, the weight that you can shift from the head. But then also a big component is the shaft. And I wanted to talk specifically, everybody knows about Ventus. And so my first question to you is, what makes Ventus so good for like the pros and maybe the higher speed players? And, you know, what are some of the other like shafts people either need to ask about or like test when they get in? Cause you know, for me, like today, it was like a no brainer that the blue board, the Diamana blue board, and I used to play a whiteboard in my ping, but it was like no brainer. This was the best shaft for me. And I've played Ventus 6X and 7X for a few years. Mm-hmm. And I had tried a whiteboard and a ping for a while and actually hit it really good. But for whatever reason, it like didn't match up with me last year. And today it was just like,
it's perfect.
It was literally perfect. Like it just felt like that was the matchup. Maybe talk about some of those matchups that you're seeing in terms of, you know, certain heads or certain like swing profiles for players. Like what do people need to take into consideration? And also, why is the Ventus so good for some of the high level players?
Yeah. So Ventus, it's kind of been kind of something that it's taken over the last really, I suppose, five plus years. And really a big piece of it is just what the modern swing is doing, where modern swing is, it's very fast. It's very aggressive. It's something that kind of needs a lot of stability to it. Not everybody swings that way, but you look at the guys like Rory McIlroy, kind of having that speed, you need something that's able to stay with you. And other companies are kind of building on that as well. You're seeing different shaft companies come out with kind of their own version. You've got PowerCore even coming from UST, which is kind of an intriguing new option into the marketplace that Ben Griffin used all last year, where it's kind of their version of PowerCore just to stabilize the tip, stabilize the shaft a little bit more. And really the tough part with shafts, I feel like, and fitting shafts as well, is everybody reacts slightly different to each shaft. We're not, when you take a look on paper, black is the lower spinning, blue is mid, red is high, but it doesn't always go with that for strike. And then also just each swing is slightly different. How you deliver the ball, the release, how you as TaylorMade is a great kind of showing of that, where they've kind of switched their fitting terms this year, where instead of high launch, low launch, mid launch, they're looking at rotation. And I feel like that is probably a better
talk about that for a second. Yeah. I haven't heard that.
Yeah, so their rotation, they kind of look at how you release the club. If you have a lot of rotation, kind of use a lot of hands, kind of that high rotation is kind of the traditional red profiles. So something that has, you know, a little bit softer as far as feel goes, it on other companies, you'll see it as a high launch, where that blue is kind of the mid rotation. Kind of most golfers, I would say, kind of fit into that blue profile. It's kind of my go-to, and I'm not exactly sure kind of where you're at. I'm going to throw you into a blue kind of right out of the gates, just as it's, if you're high rotation, low rotation, like whatever you need, it's going to be pretty close. And then from there, okay, let's try out something that's a little bit different. Then that white is kind of that Ventus black, kind of that very stiff tip, something that's going to have a lot of stability, kind of built for more of the low rotation players is how they're kind of explaining it. And then they kind of look at it as far as kind of each of those shafts. They're taking a look at each shaft TaylorMade did by themselves, kind of taking a look, okay, testing each of these individually. Ping does this as well, where they take a look at shaft companies. Every shaft company kind of explains everything just slightly differently.
Yeah.
Where if you can kind of take a viewpoint kind of on the outside, kind of an unbiased viewpoint of what each of these shafts does and kind of use it to compare each one, it helps us kind of get a better fit or a better feel for what shafts are more similar to each other. So Ping Copilot is a tool that us fitters, we've been using in our fitting bays at Second Swing, help us kind of find comparable shafts. Oh, I really like this shaft. Maybe it's an older shaft that there isn't quite the same model for now. Okay, let's take a look. What's some similar as far as torque, as far as weights, as far as flex there. If we can find something that's similar, I like playing a lot of kind of what you feel comfortable with. So you feel comfortable with, like, kind of as you said, I felt comfortable with that blue board. It used to be a shaft that I used to play.
Yeah.
Kind of going back to it, you can find success.
Yeah.
In previous,
there's a little bit of that for sure
as well.
So. Yeah. Yeah. Whether it's the feel of a driver, just like the feel, I need to go back to like a older profile and just something softer in the sense we were looking at, you know, the tour AD stuff.
Yes.
And I was like, show me the whiteboard stuff. It's like, let's try that one. And immediately it clicked. Like, yeah, it was just perfect. Like, it felt smooth through the ball. And it's just amazing how much that changes the dynamic of like a fitting and the outcome and the numbers and everything by just changing. I mean, literally you could have put a Ventus Black 7X, which I've played before, in that thing, and I just would have been just hook left all day.
Yep.
And then you give me a blue board with a little kick in the tip, and it's kind of, you know, behind it, launching a little bit higher, a little bit more spin. It was just like dead straight, perfect, 172, 173 ball speed. I was like, this is it.
Yeah.
It's great. Yeah. So it's a whole process. And that's like the driver. I want to like mix in a little bit here of the top of the bag. I would say, obviously everybody focuses on driver, but mini drivers came into the equation the last like 2 years.
Yes.
And that's kind of changed how people set up the tops of their bags, if you will. I'm kind of talking about after 4 iron, or for some people even after 5 iron.
Yeah.
You know, for me right now, I'm like driver, mini, and 5 wood. How would you suggest like different players kind of fit those gaps? And then, you know, the other component of this that I'm curious about is, how much does it matter kind of matching, say, like your driver head, like, you know, I'm in the Callaway now, but we were talking a little bit about like mini drivers. You know, a lot of people think that like the TaylorMade is the best, you know, mini driver, maybe like the Titleist because they're smaller heads. And then fairway woods are a whole different game. Like, I could literally have three different types of, right? Which could potentially mean three different shafts. And some people would argue like, hey, like you need to stay really consistent in this stuff. So talk about that. And like when you are doing, maybe it's a full bag or just top of the bag fitting, what you're seeing or thinking about for somebody doing that type of fitting.
Yeah, so a big thing when I take a look at kind of the top end of the bag is just what the player needs from a flight perspective. So many different players have different releases and different trajectories. As far as, some people are 7-wood players, I'm not. I'm already a high ball hitter. If I need to elevate a hybrid or even a 3-iron, I feel pretty comfortable doing that. But that also doesn't mean that you shouldn't have options up there. Where I want to have kind of different flights, different shots, kind of have a number of different options for the top end of the bag. And this is something where it gets kind of tough when you take a look at, okay, I want a 14 club set. For a lot of my elite golfers, my D1 golfers, elite juniors, I'm fitting them for 15, 16, sometimes even 17 clubs.
Interesting.
And then depending on course conditions, depending on what the course presents, you flip something in and out. But I want to have a number of different options for you at the top.
What are some of those main things you would flip in and out? Is it like having a 7-wood instead of a 3-iron, or having a mini driver as opposed to a 3-wood, but also having both? Like what's the typical one? Cause even for me, I said this the other day, this will be the first year where I carry two different lob wedges. I'm going to carry a 14K and a 6K grind, because strictly, dude, I went to Bandon and I was skipping everything off the turf with my high bounce. And I was like, man, I would have loved if I had a little low bounce knifer that I could actually like get under here. I was opening that thing up and it just looked like it was sitting on top of the ground. Oh, and I was 100%. Like, I literally couldn't chip around there. Yeah. I had no chance. They were trying to give me chipping lessons. I'm like, guys, I promise I'm a decent enough golfer. I just feel like I can't chip right now.
Yeah.
And so like there's that aspect, but then also too, to your point, fitting different sets of clubs for different types of courses and conditions. Like, what are the most standard ones you see?
Yeah. So the big one that's come out really the last number of years has been mini driver versus 3-wood. So what I look at there is, especially for myself, I'll use myself as an example. At the State Am last year, for me, I hit driver very consistently left to right. I can play a fade very comfortably. When it comes to the mini driver, I see that as a draw club. I'm able to turn that over from right to left a lot easier. Up at Madden's, a lot of tight fairways, but then a lot that are moving from right to left that you need to get something shaping in that draw pattern to kind of catch those fairways or to kind of make that fairway as wide as possible. So having that mini driver is an option of, hey, if you're going to use your 3-wood off the tee majority of the time, or I you need to have an option there.
Yeah.
It's a more forgiving.
If you're hitting 3-woods off the tees, you're probably not having to use 3-woods a lot on other holes, right?
That's
kind of my justification.
That's the other portion of it is you get guys, especially you have guys up kind of even north of where I am as far as ball speed goes. If you're hitting your driver 350, how many times are you hitting 3-wood in a round other than off the tee?
Yeah.
Not really, unless you have that odd 650-yard par 5.
But even, or if you're just playing a lot of tournament golf and you're all the way back, but even still, it's few and far between, and a lot of them you can't even hold with 3-woods.
Yeah.
So
having that mini driver is a nice piece, but then there are other situations where you do have courses where you need to have that 3-wood to get something. Hey, I'm going to be using this more off the fairway now. I've got both a 3-wood that I've got dialed in as well as my mini driver, and just kind of depending on course, depending on what I expect, I flip one or the other end. Typically, my 3-wood has been my go-to, just as it's a little bit more versatile. I can use it off the ground. Mini, I can force it if I need to, but majority of the time, if it's going to be a tee club, I'd much rather have that mini in my hands.
Yeah, and on the topic of minis, I feel like I've been an advocate of the mini driver now for the better part of, for sure, last year, and I was even starting to get into it 2 years ago, but last year is when like more models came out, so it felt like it was, you know, more relevant. I did notice, though, how different the different manufacturers made them, right? Like, you're laughing because you know exactly what I'm about to say, which is like, dude, some of these heads were the size of like normal heads, and then like you went all the way down to the Titleist, it was like, this is basically a 3-wood.
Yep.
And I haven't even hit it yet, but I feel like I'm already like biased towards that TaylorMade because of the shape and the look, and it's like it kind of fits the mold of both. What do you guys see fitting mini drivers that most people are fitting into, and are you fitting them as, you know, 95% of these shots are going to be off the tee, but like for someone like me that goes, well, yeah, but I mean, I feel like I'm good enough, like I want the option to be able to hit it off the deck. I mean, there are a couple of instances I've gotten into where like I want to hit that and try and like squeeze cut at 250, and I'm looking down at this thing like I'm just trying to hit DOD.
Yeah.
And I wish I had my 3-wood. So talk about that for a sec. Like, what happens when someone says that?
Yeah, mini is kind of a unique one, just because every company's kind of gone out a different way about it. Where you look at drivers, they're all 460 cc's. Like, you'll get some, the Triple Diamond, the GT3, where they're trying to lower spin, or they'll go 20, 30, maybe 40 cc's smaller. But then you come to mini drivers, and Titleist has got their GT280 at 280 cc's. And then the Callaway one, at 340, there's a big difference as far as the head size, how it's shaped, the depth of the face there. Each one kind of has its own kind of pluses and minuses as far as kind of what it does. The R7 I kind of see as the happy medium. As far as the Callaway's pretty big, it's kind of more of a small driver. That GT280 really kind of is just a big oversized 3-wood. That R7 quad, it's kind of, again, best of both worlds. It's what I've thrown in my bag when I go to that mini. It's still got a low center of gravity, so I can still hit it off the deck if I need. But having that kind of shaping, it's a shape that I like. It's a size that I like. Again, it's that happy medium that I've found in the industry. But again, everybody's a little bit different for what they're looking for out of it. If I have a guy that's, hey, I'm using this 99% off the tee, okay, that Callaway is even a good option. And even just today, I actually did a Thriver, a Ping G4 30 Max 12.
Yeah, you guys talked about that kid.
Yeah.
I was half joking when I heard that setup, and I was like, what is this guy doing? And then you were like going in, I was like, oh, he must be like a player.
Yeah.
Like, does he play competitively or in college or something?
He started to play competitively. Yeah, he was a pitcher for Stephen F. Austin. So he just
pure athlete.
And he has tons of speed. He's really only been playing the game for, say, 4 or 5 years. So he's fairly new to the game, but he's picked it up. He was a fitter over at Minneapolis for a little bit.
And how far was that Thriver going?
Thriver, it was carrying kind of 305 to 310, running out to 320.
Gosh.
And that's
long. So the driver's what, 340, 50?
360.
Oh my gosh.
He's in a 9-degree.
That's different, man.
Yeah, 9-degree LST. He cruises driver at 131, 132 club head speed.
Wow.
And he had a PXG secret weapon. And the only issue that he had with it is sometimes it spun too low. is he catches that one a little bit on the toe and it just knuckles and it goes forever. So he's like, I need something that spins. I'm sitting there, I'm like, Callaway is big, but it doesn't spin a whole lot. That 430 Thriver, because it's a bigger head, it's 460 cc's, that weight is pulled as far back as you can. At 12 degrees, it actually spins more.
He hasn't hit it off the deck.
No, he's like,
ever.
I did it twice to have fun. And
yeah, see if I hit, but it. He'd
never have to. And
600 yard par threes, he's hitting four iron into it.
Yeah, he's got sick. More speed than you could ever need. And for that, it was just about getting the right launch and spin window. So having that 430 and it kind of, or four, excuse me, 440 max there, having that 440 max with the bigger club head, all of a sudden spin rates, we're looking for kind of mid threes, kind of low mid threes there. We never wanted to see it dip below 2,700 RPMs, even if he catches a little bit high toe, just because it's purely a control club. At no point are we trying to get as much distance out of this club as we can.
Sure.
It's okay. We've got a tight fairway. We're trying to find the fairway. And even the other explanation he had is, hey, some of those short par fours, driver's too much.
Yeah.
And I need something that I can reliably hit a number at that 320 range.
What a problem to have.
Driver's
too much. I need something I can just cruise 305, 320.
Yep.
And so I'll build something for that.
It's something where he's a very unique
case, for sure.
But it's so much fun to be able, the amount of adjustability that we have where we're throwing lead tape on the head, trying to figure out what the head weight needed to be at in order to kind of get it to swing weight at the right spot with the shaft that he wanted. That's the type of stuff that I love. It's just, it's a blast. I do that stuff for free if you tell me.
For sure.
It's more, it's an absolute blast in there. So.
Well, so to wrap up, I know it's early, but these are the best times to do these because you might shock yourself. So we're sitting here, it'll be December. This isn't what you think is the best. This isn't what, you know, other fitters think is the best. I just want to know, prediction right now, driver, which brand are you going to sell the most of? What's going to fit into the most people this year? Because probably a couple of years ago, people would have said, you know, the TaylorMade. Last year, it was probably pretty close. What do you think would have said one last year? Probably the Ping?
I was going to say Ping and Titleist were my
They were pretty close. Oh, yeah, the Titleist.
The Titleist is a little bit of a, it's kind of a sleeper.
It is a sleeper. I've heard, so end of this year, what do you think you guys are going to be saying you fit the most people into?
It's, my gut just says Ping, just because it's as forgiving as possible. Majority of golfers that we get in need the forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
If we can get something in their hands where 440K is still quick, it still spins fairly low, that forgiveness, that consistency across the face is ridiculous.
Pretty crazy?
Yeah.
So yeah, the Max K.
That's where my gut goes to there.
Yeah, well, we'll probably, I know we will probably talk again in December. We'll come back. We'll figure out what the real answer was. All I know is there's a lot of really good options out there. For people that want to see you, they just schedule Second Swing Minnetonka.
Yep.
Right, that's when it pops up.
Yep.
Mark Olson, they got to search for that, not Blades and Sunday Bags.
I was going to say, if you want to DM me on Blades and Sunday Bags, more than welcome to. But if you go on secondswing.com, you can select a fitter. So whether it's myself or you go to Cam.
I see Cam mostly. Yeah, he's my guy.
There's so many. You really can't go wrong. So feel free if you want to come in, schedule a fitting. We'd love to have you.
Awesome. Thank you, Mark. And shout out Second Swing. It was an awesome first epi.
Yeah, that's perfect.
Take it easy, man. Thank you.
You too.